In our breakout and best-selling book, Looking for Angels, A Guide to Understanding and Connecting with Angels, Dr. Scott Guerin and I share how you can communicate with angels, understand signs from the universe and these celestial beings, feel at peace knowing you are always connected to Source, and much more. Get your copy today at lookingforangelsbook.com, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or your local bookstore. And now you can even get the audio version narrated by me and Scott through Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. You are listening to A Psychic Story, a podcast that shares behind-the-scenes insights of people who lead supernatural lives among the ordinary. And I'm your host, Nicole Bigley. Join me every other Wednesday as I dispel the myths behind magic and lore. Welcome to A Psychic Story. Hi, psychic listeners. For this episode of A Psychic Story, we have Laura Banco. Laura is the founder and owner of the Holistic Home Company, and we chat about modern day feng shui, what it is, and how you can incorporate it into your own life to create a balanced, healing, and more soulful space. I think what you do is really interesting. So for our listeners, how did you get started in what it is that you do? Because we're going to be talking about using intuition to create your space, but on your website, you have various things that help with that space. So if you can just share your story, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. As a feng shui consultant, I think most people don't initially set out to be it. It's something that this vocational path finds you. And that's certainly what happened to me. And it all started in 2001, and I was working for a company that represented film directors. I never found that job or any other job that I had previously had in fashion and behind the scenes, it didn't feel like it was my passion. It just felt like that it was an occupation that I kind of struggled along with. And then I was diagnosed with a rare bone marrow cancer, and I had to leave my job and just focus on my health. And I was in Barnes & Noble bookstore just shopping for books that kind of would help instill a hell and healthy lifestyle. And this book about feng shui and health, it literally just came flying off the shelf and hit me on the head.
Wow.
And I had never had in my life any kind of divine intervention like that. And so no one else was around. There was no reason that this could come flying and really hitting me on the head. So, you know, it just like talk about signs from the universe. I was really getting literally hit on the head with this sign. And it was a book about feng shui and health. And I always had a sensitivity to my environment, always was connected to my space. So I said, okay, I'm going to buy the book. So I bought it, read it, really connected to it, made some changes in my space and felt different. And then I found out that the author was giving a lecture in New York. So I attended the lecture, really enjoyed it, signed up for her mailing list, and I got to see that she was offering training programs. So since I had left my job and in between doctor's appointments, I had like 2 days a week, between 2 and 3 days free. So I called up her office and asked if I could work for her in exchange for going to her training program. She happened to need someone that day, so she hired me, and I ended up working for her, going through the training program, and studying with other feng shui masters, eventually leaving and starting my own business.
That's amazing, especially when you said literally got hit over the head with this book flying.
Yeah.
And that it was definitely a divine intervention. What is it about feng shui, or what, for people that aren't familiar with it, if you can describe what that incorporates and what it entails?
So feng shui, it really is about the connection between yourself and your space. And it's connecting those dots between whatever's going on in your life, whatever your challenges are, and how they're physically manifesting in your space. And so it's about creating an environment that just really is supportive to all areas of your life, whether it's wealth or health, or relationships or career. It's kind of harnessing the energies of nature and living in a way that just supports all areas and you as an individual.
And can you give an example of what that would look like?
Yes. So a feng shui'd home is not a home with like an Asian design aesthetic. It's not a home that is meticulously organized. It's a home where everything from the psychology of how you dwell, subconscious symbolism, levels of organization, the balance of yin and yang, every element kind of comes together, the aesthetics of design. And it's there to support not only where you are now, but where you want to be. So a feng shui'd home could look quite different from me, you know, my home compared to your home or anybody else's. And that's why I kind of stay away from a lot of categorical sweeps of this is what you have to do, because everyone is different.
It's an energy and it's a feeling, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's an energy and a feeling. And the key is to be able to kind of assess your space and say, okay, this is where I need help, or this room doesn't feel right. Or, you know, I always seem to have this challenge in my life. Why is that?
So like an example would be if you mentioned challenges, constantly having trouble or those sorts of things with romantic relationships, you may want to consider what is lacking in your physical environment that you may want to incorporate and bring something in or an element of that nature so that it feels more like bringing in the romance or bringing in healthy relationships. Would that be accurate?
Absolutely. And it really is about the psychology of how you dwell. Because let's say that example that you want to bring in a relationship, but let's say there's absolutely no room if a potential mate were to come into your home and there's no room for them anywhere, in the nightstand, in the junk drawer, in the closet. You know, they have to feel like they would have room in your life. So literally making the room is the first step. Creating the space for that potential partner. And then the next step is, gosh, whenever I go into a consultation and there's someone that wants to get into a relationship, but I see a lot of single images, because often we take whatever it is that we're dwelling on, let's say feeling alone, and there will be a lot of singular imagery, a single vase in a corner, the artwork could be just singular images. You know, a lone pillow with I did a consultation recently, and that's what I was seeing. There was no room for anybody else. There was a picture above the bed of just an outline of a female. There was a mermaid pillow on the bed, just one. You know, there was a singular chair in the corner, a lot of just single items everywhere. So subconsciously, you're reinforcing that singular soul energy, you know, throughout your space. So it's really about making the space for that person and creating little pockets where it could be the two of you, creating, you know, a space in your nightstand drawer for them to put the thing.
Like if somebody were to come into your life in that moment right now, like literally knocking on your door, if they were to walk in, that there's space already for them.
Yes.
And also the symbolism of it too, where you're saying the pairs, like I've also had read, like maybe your paintings only have one person in them, or your prints on the walls, maybe incorporating couples in them, that sort of thing. That's like bringing that to life. And the other thing that I had read is that sometimes people, when you, especially if you have a big bed, you may sleep in the middle of it. So while you're getting the room and making the space for somebody that can come in, it's also living as if somebody is also potentially even there, so that it's, again, energetically bringing that in.
Yes, absolutely. And for some people, that step of even making the space is hard. You know, maybe they have all of these stumbling blocks, you know, like things that are holding them up. They may say that they want that, but maybe they're purposely insulating themselves with stuff, with clutter, so that can't happen. So it's really about rolling up your sleeves, doing the work, being honest with yourself, and making the changes mindfully.
What are some other things outside of, you know, relationships romantically that people will come and get consultations from you in, as far as remaking or making their space more energetic for the flow of what they're trying to manifest and bring in?
I find that so often people will say their challenges, and it's in complete metaphor to what I'm seeing in their space. And the example is, they'll say, I'm just feeling so stuck. I'm feeling stagnant. Or I just feel like I'm up against a wall. So I look at their home, and what else is showing up in their space in that way? You know, is their front door stuck and hard to open? you know, every time they come in and out, they're like having to hit it with their shoulder and really jiggle the handle. Well, that act of your front door being stuck, that within itself, that energy of that is going to kind of snowball into other areas of your life.
Yeah, especially your door, because it's so symbolic as well of other things. It's not only the door to your home, it could be the door to your soul, your emotions, your relationships, other things.
Exactly. And in feng shui, your front door is the main conduit of qi coming into your life, mm-hmm. representing all opportunities. So it's really important to take a look at the front door. But also, is your bed up against a wall, you know, one side wall of your bed? What other areas are stuck? You know, does the air feel stagnant? Does it feel clean? Is there a lot of airflow going through? So whatever your challenge is, look to see how it may be manifesting literally in that way.
What is the biggest, you mentioned as far as feng shui, people think if they're not familiar with it, that it has more of the Asian decor. What are other some of the misconceptions you think that people have about it?
I would say, gosh, there's so many myths about feng shui. You know, that'll make you win the lottery. It'll make you find the love of your dreams. It'll cure an illness. No, it can't do any of those. But if utilized properly, it can certainly create a supportive environment so your desires can easily unfold. But what I have found, and this only came through like over a decade of studying and practicing and working with hundreds of clients, that I began to shed some of the feng shui tenets that didn't resonate with me, that felt antiquated. Some of the philosophies that maybe felt superstitious or even toxic. You know, I was trained to use a lot of mercury sulfide, which is cinnabar, which is supposed to be lucky in feng shui. But it's toxic, and you know, there's so many rituals using it, but it's the most toxic mineral known to man. So there's certain things through the years that I couldn't reconcile with. That was one. And a lot of the, you know, the culturally rich symbolism, or thinking that you need to paint your door red. Well, what if you hate that color? So every day coming in and out of your home, you're going to feel a simmering current of anger, and you're not going to know why. You know, it's because someone told you, oh, red is a lucky color, paint it. You know, so these things kind of spurred me on to create a type of feng shui that is a bit more modern, bit more updated, and really addresses the client's mental, emotional, physical issues.
And you mentioned colors. What are some other things? I imagine color, not just from an interior decorating standpoint, but also energetically, is very important in infusing that space. So can you walk us through, like, whether it's on a wall or if it's on your bed sheets, some things that people can maybe consider and think about to bring in certain energies?
Yeah, so color definitely does. And with red, you know, if you have an over-proliferating cancer or you have a tendency for anger, you know, you want to tone down the red. You want to turn the volume down on red and start using blues and greens, and, you know, whatever would be the opposite on that color wheel. So it's about really looking within yourself and saying, okay, where are my deficits? You know, am I just kind of lazing about and not feel motivated? Well, then maybe some pops of red will be what you need.
And you have a book, so tell me about that. When did you write it, and how did it come about?
So I started writing it over the course of 10 years. And during that time, it changed a lot as my own practice with feng shui changed. And the more that I would do consultations, the more that I really felt this need for a holistic type of feng shui that really is looking at all parts that make the whole, because that's where the biggest transformation is going to happen. You know, if I go into your home and I just tell you, okay, move this couch. No, it's really not going to do anything. But if I connect the dots for you and say, okay, this is the reason why we are moving your desk right here, because your back is to the door and now you're going to see things head on. You're not going to feel easily startled or vulnerable. You know, so it's kind of explaining the deeper meaning between all of these feng shui suggestions. And the holistic part is really, you know, when I started doing this is really when I saw the biggest, deepest, more long-lasting transformation to my clients. And so that's the holistic type of feng shui that I created. It's kind of dragging feng shui into this century. and really looking at the deeper underpinnings of, you know, why we are the way we are and how it's showing up in our space, how we relate to our space, because our homes are our intimate expression of ourselves. So it's really about looking at your home through your feng shui eyes and saying, aha, so this is how my fear is showing up in my space.
What are some of your favorite transformations for your book that you've had these really great transformations with your clients and the people that have come to see you? What are some of those stories that you can share that you've seen?
One of the things in my book that I talk about is that I had a client who said, I just can't get a handle on my life. I just can't get a handle. And so I always look at a client's floor plan beforehand and a brief bio about where their challenges are and the change that they want to see. Nothing that I was looking at on her floor plan indicated that to me, but as soon as I went into her home, I saw that she had taken off all of the handles and knobs on all of her kitchen cabinets and her bedroom cabinets.
Weird.
And she had done this for a year. Well, she did it with the intention of getting new ones, but then never found new ones.
Oh, okay. Okay. I thought maybe it was just like a certain preference. I was like, okay, well, wouldn't it make it harder to open up your cabinet doors? But okay, that makes sense to me.
Yeah. The intention was getting new ones, but then she never found new ones that she wanted. And she felt that putting the old ones on was taking a step backwards. So it remained like this for a year. But during this time, that constant grappling, that constant struggle to do the most mundane daily tasks, it created this energy that really beget itself of feeling like she couldn't get a handle because she actually couldn't get a handle.
It was like literal. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so that energy really grows and you start to feel it in other areas of your life. So once I go into someone's space and I say, well, there you go, you can't get a handle, it's because this is what's happening. So a lot of times we're kind of blind to our own space and we don't see these connections. Someone has like a fear of change. So I'll go into their home and I'll see that maybe nothing has been updated in eons, or they have a fear of commitment. So maybe even putting a nail on the wall to hang artwork is something that they can't do, or they can't buy big ticket items or unpack boxes. So fear of losing control may show up as a meticulously organized house where nothing feels out of place, you know, because they don't want anything to be out of order. So it's really about a balance in your home, you know, creating. You know, you want to have a looser, forgivable home where comfort is key. And it really kind of showcases who you are, not an interior designer's voice, you know, and if other people are living in the home, that it, you know, equally showcases their personalities and who they are as well.
In the very beginning, we were talking about a feeling and an energy, and I totally agree with that. I mean, it's your home. You spend so much time in it. It reflects yourself, but also the people that you allow to come in and out of your space. And there's this thing nowadays like called microaggressions, which I'm sure most people are familiar with, but it's like these little things over time that just kind of like eat at you. And you mentioned like the color. If there's a color, for example, that's on your walls that you're just like every time you look at it, that's a feeling that elicits a feeling. The same thing with maybe there's clutter on your steps every time when you walk in your home and it's kind of you're faced with it and you know, but once you clear it, it feels so good and freeing. And that's probably another tip that people could kind of practice is to go in and like you were saying, if it's your door and it's stuck, if you are missing some handle pulls, it's been taking a year to replace them on your cabinets, simple little things that you may not know are building up over time that are putting out that kind of stagnant energy that is very important to have reincorporated into your life and cleared out so that the new can come in, which I think is just really fascinating. What is your favorite chapter in your book?
My favorite chapter definitely has to be the one on subconscious symbolism. I just find it so fascinating. And whatever your challenges are, it's so important to kind of take a deeper look and look around your space and see how can this be showing up. So if you can't sleep, if you have trouble sleeping at night, take a look at your bedroom. I had a client that had artwork of crashing waves on their wall. They had a to-do list next to their bed, a stack of unread books, a phone that's charging, an exercise bike that's reminding you of, you know, activity or even guilt if you, you know, for a workout that you didn't do. So all of these things kind of add up to really impeding a good night's sleep. So I find that whatever your issues are, they are clearly going to show up in your space. And that's what subconscious symbolism is. I had a client that had a really low self-esteem, and she was hanging her mirrors way too high because she felt like she could never measure up. And so that is how it manifested in her space.
Something for people to really take a look at is how their space, they both intentionally have it structured, but what maybe you aren't, you're feeling that you can't quite put your finger on it. And even like you said, this the subconsciousness and that symbolism behind it, I never really thought of the not being able to sleep thing. You think about your phone, right? Not having your phone next to your bed, but even with that to-do list that you probably think, oh, it's great, I'm just going to write this down as I'm thinking about before I go to sleep. But in the back of your mind, it's always there. So it's going to hinder you from being able to get this that restful sleep and that, you know, that purpose. You founded also, you have your own website, theholistichomecompany.com, and you have your own physical business space where people can go in. Tell us a little bit about that. What has that journey looked like to you, and what can people expect in the future?
After I was working as a feng shui consultant, my daughter and I started making just some gifts for family members for the holidays, and some candles and salt scrubs. And my husband encouraged us to sell them. And at first I was quite hesitant. I thought, oh, I don't have the time, and would anyone really like them, and can I do this? And so I decided, okay, what have I got to lose? I'm just going to put a couple of items on a website. And I started selling these things, and it really took off. And through the course of 6 years, it grew from a business in my home of beauty and wellness and home goods and a line of teas and a line for canine products. And now I have a whole line of online offerings. And then I, you know, opened up a flagship store and a wellness center in Brooklyn. And I did that right before the pandemic. So I was only open with the wellness center just a couple of weeks before I had to close it. But it has been quite the journey. And it really is so true that, you know, when you find that what you're meant to be doing, the universe just kind of opens up and guides you along the way. And that's how I felt when I first got into this. And it really is about like tapping into your intuition and looking at guideposts along the way. When I was looking for a storefront for my business, I was walking my dog and I saw four numbers that I really connect to, 1111. And there was a big retail space available sign. And so the 1111 got me. And that was because I had just asked the universe for a sign to help guide me to get to the right space.
Isn't it amazing how that happens? I mean, and some people, though, good for you for actually recognizing the sign and going with it, because I think some people, they'll get it, they'll see it. Maybe they would have seen the 1111 a few different times and been like, but I want a sign. And it's almost like they're saying, we've been giving them to you. Pay attention.
Yeah.
I saw that you have those herbal teas. I think that that's amazing. And that some of them, like, do you have certain things kind of incorporated into it, like Reiki and other energies?
Yeah. Yep. So the Reiki, the teas have been Reiki'd by my sister, Lisa Rodriguez. She's a Reiki practitioner. So she's Reiki'd all the teas. And something that I really like, and I think other people enjoy about the products, is that whether it's a candle, let's say in the good juju scent, which is our bestseller, we'll also have that in an aromatherapy spray. We'll also have that in a tea. We'll also have that in body wash and lotions. So there's so many different ways and different forms that some of these great blends show up that people really seem to like, and especially good juju. During quarantine, that became just, we sold so much of it. People were buying bottles and bottles and bottles of it. It's a big energy shifter. It's sage, Palo Santo, and frankincense, and it just really works well in clearing negativity.
I'm going to have to get some because I saw that and I was like, yeah. And then I love your canine line too. I have two dogs, huge animal lover, and I didn't realize like dog paw balm is a thing.
Yes, it really is. They need it. Their little paws kind of get beat up, and it also works as a layer of protection, so on their paws as well. But when I wrote the Holistic Dog book, which is my second book, I got to interview a canine psychic, and it was just fascinating because, you know, it's kind of delving into these little sentient beings that are such a big part of our life and realizing how intuitive they are as well. And they're really connected to us on that level.
Yes, they're little angels here on earth for us, for sure.
Yeah.
So you have your two books. And I'll put them in the show notes and also on the website for everybody to know. I mean, you also offer your wellness products, the home goods, and then you have your wellness center. Do you know when you're going to open that back up?
Oh, it's been opened. I was allowed to open in August.
Great.
And right now we're doing massage just one at a time, the lower level, and we're doing yoga out terrace. So we're kind of, tweaking it a little bit so that under these COVID times, we can still be operating. It's been a challenge, but definitely having the online aspect and being able to fulfill orders and ship them out to everyone has been a blessing. And right now I'm offering an online feng shui certification class, and that starts on April 20th. And that has been incredible. We've done three rounds of it so far, and I'm really excited about this next round. And it's really about teaching everyone to either use this as their own job if they want, or to integrate it into their current career, or to just use it for their own knowledge. But after the 7-week course, which is just Zoom, 2 hours a week, you can really use this knowledge in different ways. And it's been great to see past students who are now using this to go out there and feng shui homes, or using it in interior design, or just using it, you know, with their family. But it's become a great source of joy for me to be able to teach this and really instill this in others. And I love being able to kind of personalize the class.
That's amazing.
I find out where everyone is and, you know, what they really want to focus on. And then I just incorporate that into the coursework.
So how many people can sign up at one time for your course that's coming up?
I like to keep it small, so it's going to be always 15 or under. And with that amount, we're able to have a lot of like one-on-one, a lot of dynamic conversation during the Zoom.
Is there anything that we haven't talked about that you're feeling led from your spirit guides or angels that you wanted to cover? I think that this is great. It comes at such an awesome time for people, like as we've been at home for so long and quarantined and learning how to kind of get back out into society. But also I want to say, like, making sure that we're not forgetting our space that we're in so much in our houses and homes and what you offer. But anything along those lines or something else that you would like to share or feel led to?
Well, I feel like now more than ever, with everyone having spent so much time in their homes, that they're realizing the importance and how sacred their home is. And with that, it's crucial to kind of examine how your home is heralding who you are. You know, how it's supporting whatever your goals are. And it doesn't ever have to cost a lot of money to feng shui your home, but it's really about heightening your awareness and making those connections between your challenges in life and how they're showing up in your space and whatever your goals are, to how to create a space for your goals so that they can easily unfold.
I love that. I think that perfectly ends, you know, our conversation. And for anyone that's interested, again, Laura's website is the holistichomecompany.com. She also has a website, laurabenko.com. Her book is The Holistic Home Company, Feng Shui for Mind, Body, Spirit, Space. And then, of course, she has her upcoming course, the Holistic Home School of Feng Shui Online Certification Course. And all this will be in the show notes. Laura, I really appreciate your time, and I hope you have a blessed day.
No problem.
Thank you for joining.
Thank you. You too. It was great talking to you. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you, everyone, for also sending me emails, messages, and even audio on Instagram. I got a really awesome one from Alicia Smith, and she was reacting to my story, which I posted and distributed a few weeks ago. So if you missed it, go back and listen, but it shares my experiences on how I got started in all of this. But in the meantime, here is a message from Alicia. Thank you for leaving it.
I want to truly thank you from the bottom of my heart for creating this podcast, for allowing yourself to share your gifts with the world, and for allowing yourself to listen to those downloads that you received about creating this podcast, because I was led to you today on this specific day, April 7th, and you have just spoken directly into my soul with your story and just how I've been feeling like such an outcast in my relationship with my partner, inside of my family. Like, I know that I'm special and I have very deep gifts that are, like I mentioned earlier, are awakening within me and getting stronger by the day as I continue to allow myself to embrace them and practice them and just know that those gifts make me me. My clairvoyance, my clairaudience, they make me me. So thank you for providing the world with a safe space to come and share our stories and to support and guide each other on this journey of having one foot in this 3D world and another foot in the 5D and just trying to surrender and figure it all out. I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for creating this podcast.
Thank you for listening to A Psychic Story. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode and join the conversation on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. All episodes are free on your favorite podcast player or at apsychicstory.com. Have a question? Is there a topic you'd like to hear more about? Or have a suggestion for a future guest? Send an email to contact@apsychicstory.com or leave a voicemail message at 1-800-880-1881. We'd love to hear from you, and you may even be featured on a future episode. If you're interested in booking a session with me, you can do that directly on the website. And if you want to hear even more content hosted by yours truly, check out my other show, Supernatural Matters.